took the nails for me.
This is Glorious Day, a program that grew from
a vision to support our brother and sister Christians
and those who are still seeking Jesus.
By applying God's word to the everyday concerns and challenges that we all face today,
we are two local pastors who love Jesus
and his people,
and he wants us to strengthen his disciples
to get stronger, because God's promised revival is on the way.
Welcome to Glorious Day. This is Pastor David, and Pastor Barry is not going to be with me for I don't know how many sessions. He's, as I'd mentioned in the last program, his wife had passed very, very recently, and he's really just with his family and loving on them, grieving with them, and we respect that, and now he needs some space, so I'm going to be running solo. And I really miss my brother, but I understand what he has to do. And of all days, today is the Christmas Eve, the day before Christmas. And I'm going to read to you from the second chapter of Luke, the Christmas story, and then see where the Spirit wants me to go with this. But ahead of that, I'm going to ask you to pray for Pastor Barry and his family, but to extend your prayer to all those who are grieving in this season. You may be one of them. You may have lost a loved one this week, last year, in the last 5 years, or maybe there's still an ongoing grief in your heart from several decades of losing someone very special to you, a mom, a dad, a wife, husband, child. Probably the worst grief in human experience is the loss of a child. And when Christmas rolls around, and even though you are much able to engage in the season as opposed to in the past, there's still a burr of grief that digs into your soul. So I'm going to open up with prayer for you, even as I ask you to keep praying. For how long? Well, as long as the Lord leads you to, because he really does want to deliver his people from whatever grief we suffer and bring us the peace and the joy of the Spirit. But Father, we come before you today, and upon our hearts, you have already placed compassionate need to lift up to you all who are grieving in this Christmas season. And because of that grief, the burden often gets in the way of fully celebrating the birth of your son. And this is not a sin, nor is it something to repent of, but it is something to be aware of, Lord. And we lift up all those people to you who have been impacted by any loss, especially that of a loved one. Move in their lives, Lord. Release your Holy Spirit to work healing graces in those wounded places in their hearts. Bring to them restoration. Bring to them renewal of life and of mission and ministry. And daily, Father, may the healing balm of your mercy be so richly spread on the wounds of their heart that they would know the healing you want them to have, and at the same time to retain the memories of the ones they loved and celebrate those memories every day. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This is a reading from the Gospel of Luke. It's the second chapter, verses 1 through 20. If you have your Bible, you're welcome to follow along with me. I'm in the Revised Standard Version this morning. And if you don't have your Bible, and maybe even if you do, you just want to listen. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be enrolled. This was the first enrollment when Quirinius was the governor of Syria. And all went to be enrolled, each to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be enrolled with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to be delivered. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in that region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Be not afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy, which will come to all the people. For to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you: you will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a great multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying which had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary kept all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. And truly, this is the word of the Lord. As you might remember, when Pastor Barry and I began this program, oh gosh, 3 years ago almost, we had been given a direction from the Lord to put together a program that would cover themes, issues, concerns that would bless the church, primarily the audiences, the people of God, those who were saved, in terms of preparing the church for the revival, which at that time was coming. And we did this, I hope, as faithfully as we could. And, of course, the revival has come. It's not bursting forth all over the nation, but if you study the Christian news media, because the liberal folk will not print it, you will see evidence of an ongoing and even exponentially increasing revival all across this land. And we can see aspects of it in the world too. The hand of God is moving. Spirit of God is pouring out grace for revival in America, which is important for us as a nation because we need to be revived to the point where we can again address the covenant we made with God 400 years ago, a covenant to send the gospel over our shores and into the world, and a covenant which has been honored throughout our history, but is so much more critical in these latter days. And so, with all of that, I believe it's important that we add this Christmas reading and the season and what God wants us to focus on right now, because it's critical to this season of revival. God sent his son first time a little over 2,000 years ago. And we all know, even today, as we think of all the scenes from Christmas, the babe in the manger, as we just read in Luke. A helpless child. God comes as a helpless child. How powerful is that? Scripture says that, and I kind of paraphrase, that he gave up his power and authority and his omniscience, and he gave up everything to be born for us as a child. And to have an earthly ministry in his late 20s, early 30s. We're not really sure, but somewhere in there. And then to, in spite of everything that we would have thought people would do as they received him well in his early days of his ministry, were marveling at the miracles he performed, were totally riveted to his teaching and preaching of the coming of the kingdom. His authority, being the authority of God, made those who listened to him rapturous almost, because the leaders of that day didn't have the Spirit. They didn't have a vision for what God wanted them to preach and to teach. And so Jesus came, and in their view, was unique. But we know, even as we celebrate Christmas, that the whole of the story doesn't reach its peak until Jesus is crucified. And he dies on the cross, and 3 days later he's resurrected. And within the scope of his first advent, up until the time of his resurrection, is the great core of the gospel story concerning God's love for his people, so much so that literally God went to the cross for us, the only appropriate sacrifice for our sin. Now, many of us don't understand sacrifice. We weren't brought up in a religious tradition where sacrifice was regularly made on an altar, blood sacrifice. And there aren't too many, I don't believe there are any Christian religions today that do that in terms of actual blood, actual creatures being offered. For those of us that celebrate Holy Communion, we do use the words of Jesus in our Eucharistic service. And we not just remember that, but we believe God is moving in our worship time there, not just to remind us, but it's actually being present for us. But we don't have, as the Jews, the early Jews, had that sense of sacrifice and the reason why they were doing it. And ultimately, for the Jews, on the Day of Atonement, there was a sacrifice for the sins of Israel. But God knew that when it came to human sin, there would be nothing that would justify or satisfy that great word, propitiation of our sins, the total offering, the total acceptable offering for our sins, except his son Jesus. And so he had to be sacrificed on the cross. Now, I focus on this because my concern is, number one, in our culture today, the world has overtaken the Christmas theme. And we know this, don't we? That if we're talking about God bringing revival into our nation, and he certainly has begun that. And if you're a believer today and you're concerned about revival and praying for it and desiring it, we have to, as a body, include in our prayers that the Holy Spirit would bring grace to the lost in America. And I think today is a great day to begin praying for that. That people who do not know the Lord would begin to open up to the bigger part of the story of Christmas that includes his sacrifice on the cross. Because if we don't have the whole sense of the story, we miss out on the core of the meaning. And when God is in the business, as he is now, of ramping up revival with the great intention of bringing people to Christ, and because the church, God's, Jesus's church, is being raised up today, and even the word reset has been used, and I believe that's a good word, is the church is being reset to again focus on its mission, which, if you are honest with what you know about the state of the church today, you would have to admit that today and going far back as, I don't know, 50, 60 years, the church began to lose its sense of mission, and it began to it was stalled, whatever the reason, and there's probably several of them. And when that happened, the culture began to come into the church. And the culture changed the church instead of the way God had always intended for the church to change the culture. And that's scriptural, by the way. If you haven't been taught that, then I might recommend you look for that in scripture, what God tells his people, his chosen people, the Jews, about how to bring his truth into their culture, and how Jesus then, the Son of God, the resurrected Lord, tells his church what to do. And it's found, the best place to find it is in Matthew 28, verses 16 through 20, which we call the Great Commission. And it's to go forth in all the world and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teach them what I commanded you. And behold, I'll be with you until the end of the age. That's what we're supposed to be doing. The church as a whole in America has not been doing that. Broadly, if you've been doing that, great, keep it up. If your congregation has been active in evangelism and sharing the gospel, and your pastor is preaching from the word, and preaching the call of the church to go out and share the word, and everything, all the biblical imperatives that are there that guide the church, then wonderful. But I will say, and I've said this before, I'm myself a pastor, so I have to take responsibility for the mantle of responsibility that God puts on pastors, to say, if you're a pastor and you're not doing that, start doing it. Because what if you're not doing it, God isn't pleased. It's just the bottom line. And if you are doing it, not only do it with a more focused intent and more profoundly prayerful approach, but look into your congregations and find the people who have strong leadership and soul winning, and encourage them to share that with others. Okay. I'm getting off on discipleship and stuff, which is not a bad thing. And so today, Christmas Eve, and I encourage you, if your traditions are, you know, you go to church, maybe it's a midnight service for you, maybe it's earlier, whatever, maybe you'll do both today and tomorrow. Some churches do have all those services, whatever God leads you to do. But above all, I'm going to ask you to do some things prayerfully. The first one is for you and God to get together today, if you can. Doesn't have to be long, but a place where you're quiet and have some peace. And just ask him to reveal to you where you need to get stronger in your understanding of what the work of the church is today. Now, the work of the church hasn't changed. The Great Commission has not been rewritten by God. But we live in a world today that's very different from the first century. So even though the gospel isn't different and the needs of the people are no different, it's important for us who believe to be constantly led by the Spirit so that we can interact with our culture in the way God knows we need to. I'm just suggesting, ask God, show you what you need to do, you might not be doing, or might not be doing completely. It's not a judgment. It's just an opportunity for God to fine-tune your ministry. And then, in the coming days, perhaps let's say in the next year, make it a point to pray for your congregation. Now, you might be well invested in your congregation and know what's going on completely. You might know, especially if you're involved in leadership, you might see where leadership is working and where it needs some help. And I'm not asking you to trot up to the pastor and start giving him a list of things you think need to be changed. What I'm asking you to do is simply ask the Lord to tell you how to pray for your church and to pray for your pastors. Because today, every congregation in the church, the Christian church, needs prayer. Nobody is 100% full of the Spirit and completely given the plans of God. We need to pray for those. And these coming years are critical in America for this nation to be reset, to be a nation again that will agree with God, that we can trust him, you know, on our money and on many other government documents is the phrase, "In God we trust." But the bulk of Americans don't believe that. We also have been told, and I think, that God's intention for America and our founding fathers, led by the Spirit, to create a government that would last. I believed Abraham Lincoln probably synthesized the nature of our government best when, in his second inaugural address, the phrase that you've often heard, which is true about what we should be, is a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. And I'm asking you to pray for your congregation, that church would be led by the Spirit to be more active as God would lead you to bringing healing back to our nation and to seeing a revival of Christian life, a revival of gospel preaching and teaching, and above all, a revival by bringing the hearts and souls of the lost to Christ. That's always been our mission. If there's any time in history for our nation that's critical for that to happen, it's today. And that's so embedded in God's intention for sending Christ to the earth that those nations that don't have him would hear the gospel and get saved individually and as a nation. God, you know, wants to save the nations. That's also scriptural. But often what I have seen is that particular major work begins when a small group of believers engage in what is called extraordinary prayer. And in fact, that is the prelude to any revival that happens anywhere. And so the gift of Christ that we celebrate this Christmas and every Christmas is a gift that continues to give in the hearts of believers to the point where we as believers can bring that gift to those who do not believe, by virtue of letting him, Jesus, be seen in our lives. I know you're saying, well, we didn't really talk too much about Christmas, and that's true. But what it was really on my heart is what I have developed in this last 20-some minutes. And my hope and prayer is that this will be a season where you, the listener, will seek in prayer, in your prayer closet, and in the small groups you pray with, and when you have a Bible study and you open or close in prayer, that you will focus on seeking the keen wisdom of the Spirit for the ministry you have today in the world. And that world we most live in is here in America, and most specifically in where we, the zip code we get our mail in. What does God want you to do to bring the gift of Jesus Christ to the lost that are living right around you, undoubtedly next door to you? This is what God is putting on his church today, I believe. And what is so important, and if you happen to be someone that doesn't believe, and you've stuck with me, and you're still listening, then I want to pray for you right now. I'm asking the listeners to join me in prayer. Father God, all of this revelation and activity and what you've said to us and shown us about the coming of your Son the first time is powerful and necessary. Everything he did in his earthly ministry is to reveal your face to the people, to bring the message of the coming of the kingdom and of your intentions to save every living soul. Lord, I lift up to you any who are struggling today, who don't have Jesus and have really come to the point of recognizing that every effort that they have made to improve their lives has failed, and that every worldly appliance that they have embraced to improve their lives has broken, and that their last resort is you. And you will not judge them for that choice, but rather, if they choose you, Lord Jesus, they will receive the best life that they could ever have had, one that is even greater than what they have imagined. And so I pray today for the lost to be found by you, Lord Jesus, and to be blessed and to be brought into the family of God. And we pray all of this in his most precious name, our Lord Jesus. Well, my friends, to you I say Merry Christmas, a blessed and prosperous new year, and a Holy Spirit-led endeavor that you will pursue relentlessly to win souls for Christ.
Living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me.
Join us again next Sunday at 5:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m.
Diving deep with us into God's holy word,
that we might all be encouraged, strengthened, edified,
and receive renewed hope that the Lord is on the move
and his perfect plan is unfolding in our time.
Get ready for a mouth-watering journey as Manna Morrison's Soul Food expands to Port St. Lucie. Voted North Carolina's best soul food restaurant, Manna Morrison's has been dishing out homemade cuisine for over a decade. Their new location is now open. 10234 Southwest Meeting Street, Port St. Lucie, in Tradition. Craving fried chicken, mac and cheese, or collard greens? Manna Morrison's Soul Food has something for everyone. Mark your calendars and be part of the grand opening celebration.
This is Hank Morrison, General Manager at Manna Morrison's Soul Food, now open, serving lunch and dinner every day. Come on in.